We're going to have our Bible reading. It's going to be slightly different. There's nobody coming to the front. It's a recorded Bible reading as we start our new series looking at Daniel. So we're going to listen to Daniel chapter 1 being read, and then Lisa's going to come and speak to us. Thank you.
Daniel chapter 1, the young man at Nebuchadnezzar's court. In the third year that Jehoiakim was king of Judah, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylonia attacked Jerusalem and surrounded the city. The Lord let him capture King Jehoiakim and seize some of the temple treasures. He took some prisoners back with him to the temple of his gods in Babylon and put the captured treasures in the temple storerooms. The king ordered Ashpenaz, his chief official, to select from among the Israelite exiles some young men of the royal family and of the noble families. They had to be handsome, intelligent, well-trained, quick to learn, and free from physical defects so that they would be qualified to serve in the royal court. Ashpenaz was to teach them to read and write the Babylonian language. The king also gave orders that every day they were to be given the same food and wine as the members of the royal court. After 3 years of this training, they were to appear before the king. Among those chosen were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, all of whom were from the tribe of Judah. The chief official gave them new names: Belteshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel made up his mind not to let himself become ritually unclean by eating the food and drinking the wine of the royal court. So he asked Ashpenaz to help him, and God made Ashpenaz sympathetic to Daniel. Ashpenaz, however, was afraid of the king, so he said to Daniel, "The king has decided what you are to eat and drink, and if you don't look as fit as the other young men, he may kill me." So Daniel went to the guard whom Ashpenaz had placed in charge of him and his three friends. "Test us for 10 days, he said. "Give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare us with the young men who are eating the food of the royal court and base your decision on how we look." He agreed to let them try it for 10 days. When the time was up, they looked healthier and stronger than all those who had been eating the royal food. So from then on, the guard let them continue to eat vegetables instead of what the king provided. God gave the four young men knowledge and skill in literature and philosophy. In addition, he gave Daniel skill in interpreting visions and dreams. At the end of the 3 years set by the king, Ashpenaz took all the young men to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them all, and Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah impressed him more than any of the others. So they became members of the king's court. No matter what question the king asked or what problem he raised, these four knew 10 times more than any fortune teller or magician in his whole kingdom. Daniel remained at the royal court until Cyrus, the emperor of Persia, conquered Babylonia.
Let's pray together. Loving God, we thank you for your word to us and for all the guidance and the wisdom that it brings to us and for the way that it reveals to us more about who you are. Lord, we pray this morning that your spirit would speak clearly to us, challenge us, inspire us, and draw us nearer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. I wonder, have you ever been in a situation where you felt a little bit out of place? You want to fit in, but you also want to be true to who you are, and you feel a bit like you don't belong. Maybe when starting a new job or a new school, you don't quite know how things are done, and you're not quite sure how to be. Well, if you've ever felt like that, here's a clip of someone else who knows how you feel. Paddington. If you haven't watched the movie, I highly recommend it. But Paddington was trying hard to fit into his new life in London. But at the same time, he was still a bear. And bears don't live in houses in London. Bears belong in the animal kingdom. And like Paddington, in many ways, we belong to a different kingdom. We belong to the kingdom of God. Now, last autumn, we focused our Sundays on the kingdom of God, exploring what it means to live in God's kingdom, in the now but not yet era, where God's kingdom has come, but it's not yet come in all its fullness. And we wanted to discover how that impacts on our life today. And this term, we want to further develop the kingdom theme as we consider how we can remain distinctive and true to God whilst recognising that the culture we live in reflects very different values and principles. How do we fit into this world while still being authentic as we follow Jesus? And so this morning, we're beginning our new series looking at the life of Daniel. Daniel was a man who was faithful to God despite living as an exile in Babylon. Although the book of Daniel does not provide us with a blueprint of how to live in every situation, it does clearly reveal to us principles that help to shape our lives as we, like Daniel, learn how to faithfully live for God in a culture that is alien to our values and beliefs. And we discover how to be deliberately different. And so we come to chapter 1. Now, chapter 1 and verse 1 places Daniel firmly in history in 605 BC. But although this book is very interesting from a historical perspective, like every book in the Bible, its main purpose is to teach us about God, to reveal something of his character, and to show something of his plans for his people. The history behind this is that for years, God had been challenging his people to be faithful to him, to obey his law, and he warned them of the consequences of disobeying him. But the people of Israel had turned away from the Lord. They'd worshipped idols, and they'd not observed the law. And so eventually, after nearly 500 years, God acted. And he allowed King Nebuchadnezzar to invade Jerusalem. The people were taken into exile because of God's judgment. And yet throughout the book of Daniel, we can constantly see that even then God doesn't leave them, but he continues to help those who are faithful to him. During their time in exile, the people of Israel were under all kinds of pressure to conform to their new culture and to compromise their values as the people of God. How must they have felt during that time? Where was God for them? Were they really still in his hands when they'd been taken captive by King Nebuchadnezzar? Why hadn't God saved them? Yet the people needed to understand that even then, God was with them. He was working his purpose out in very unexpected ways. And they needed to remember that God is sovereign. Looking at the events from the first few verses of chapter 1 from a human perspective, It looked very much like that Nebuchadnezzar had all the power. But verse 2 lets us into a little secret. It says, the Lord let him capture King Jehoiakim and see some of the temple treasures. In other words, it was God who was powerful. God is even more powerful than the strongest of human rulers, and he delivered Judah into Nebuchadnezzar's hands. Now, of course, as far as Nebuchadnezzar was concerned, he thought not only had he defeated the people of Israel, but he'd also defeated Israel's God. That's why he took some of those temple treasures and he put them in the temple of Babylon. He wanted to show that he had won. But even then, God was in control. You see, it would have been quite possible for Nebuchadnezzar to take those temple treasures and destroy them. But instead, he chose to keep them safe in the storerooms. God ensured those treasures were looked after. God is sovereign. And we can see that not only through the actions of Nebuchadnezzar, but also through his chief official, Ashpenaz. Verse 9 told us that God made Ashpenaz sympathetic to Daniel as he taught him and looked after him. And even though he was too afraid of the king to grant Daniel's request not to eat the king's food and wine, still the guard he had placed in charge of Daniel agreed to their request. God is sovereign. And as he showed his power over Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian officials, so he also worked within the lives of Daniel and his friends as they sought to be faithful to him. Verse 17 says that God gave the four young men knowledge and skill in literature and philosophy. In addition, he gave Daniel skill in interpreting visions and dreams. As Daniel sought to stay true to God, he was educated in all kinds of Babylonian ways. And that included probably being trained in astrology and in divination. Now that must have been really hard for Daniel to have been trained in those things. But even then, God was at work, blessing Daniel as he had done earlier with Joseph, giving him gifts that truly displayed the power of God and enabling him to interpret the king's dreams. As with the Magi who journeyed to Bethlehem under the guidance of a star, God showed he can utilize and triumph over all other forms of astrology and pagan wisdom. God is sovereign. And as we seek to live faithfully for him today, we too would do well to remember the sovereignty of God. As we reflect on Daniel this morning, I wonder, who is your Nebuchadnezzar at the moment? Are there situations where it feels that others are in control and you are powerless and left being dictated to? Does it seem like God has lost the battle and that you've been abandoned by him? Let me encourage you this morning that the God of Daniel is our God today. Remember, he is sovereign, and he continues to work his purpose out, often in unexpected ways. And like Daniel, remember that he will not leave you, because you belong to God. We learned in verses 3 and 4 that Nebuchadnezzar ordered Ashpenaz to select some young men from royal and noble families. In other words, he took the cream of the crop to train for service. Now, Daniel and his friends were probably aged about 16 to 19. They were young, intelligent, and fit. But they were also wise beyond their years, and they were growing in wisdom from God. Nebuchadnezzar wanted to train these young men for political and propaganda purposes. So he tried to change their way of thinking by educating them. What he wanted to do was to immerse them in Babylonian culture. He wanted them to be so caught up and infatuated with it that he could then take them and give them important positions either in Babylon or back at home, and then they could use their influence to help others to be absorbed by that culture. But more than that, he needed them. He didn't have enough gifted and talented people in his ever-expanding empire. And he needed their help because he wanted Babylon to visit, to gain and benefit from people like Daniel. Now, Daniel and his friends didn't resist this education program. Far from it. They seemed to just throw themselves into it. And God blessed them in their knowledge and wisdom. Now, it must have been really hard for them learning about the ways of their enemy. But this was the position they'd been put in. And they weren't threatened by it or afraid of it. They knew, above all, they belonged to God. And the way they reacted reminds me of Paul's advice to the Colossians. He wrote in chapter 3, verse 22, "Slaves, obey your human masters in all things, not only when they're watching you because you want to gain their approval, but do it with a sincere heart because of your reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as though you were working for the Lord and not for human beings." Now, to me, this certainly seems the attitude that Daniel and his friends had. They worked hard, they learned well, and God blessed them. As well as changing their minds with education, Nebuchadnezzar changed the names of these four young men, and that threatened to challenge the way they worshipped. In the Bible, names had important meanings, and this was very true for these four young men. Daniel means "God is my judge." But his name was changed to Belteshazzar, and that means "May," which was the name of a god, "protect his life." Azariah means "Yah is my help," but this was changed to Abednego, meaning a servant of Nabu. Hananiah means "Yah has been gracious," and this was changed to Shadrach, which is associated with a Babylonian god. And Mishael means "who is what God is," and his name was changed to Meshach, also associated with a Babylonian god. But Daniel and his friends knew what was behind their names. They knew they still belonged to God, and they did not let this lead them to compromise. Now, having changed their names, Nebuchadnezzar went on to change their lifestyle, saying he wanted them to have special food. Now, so far, the young men had risen to the challenge of learning. They even went along with their new names. But it was the issue of food that they chose to challenge. Why did they refuse the king's diet? Was it because the food had been offered to idols? Well, that might have been part of it, but the chances were the whole meal had been offered to idols, not just the meat. Was it to show that they weren't in allegiance to him? Well, that's not very likely, because the whole meal belonged to the king. Now, of course, they wanted to stay true to the Old Testament law. This would explain why they may feel defiled by eating the king's meat. But it didn't account for them refusing the wine. In fact, it's much more likely that Daniel and his friends refused to eat the food of the royal court to remind themselves that they really did belong to God. It was God who was looking after them, and this would prove that it was God that was keeping them healthy, not the king. It reminded them to depend upon God. And so it was in this way that they chose to make their stand against Nebuchadnezzar and his culture. This is how they were called to be deliberately different. Daniel received wisdom from God that enabled him to know how to respond to the challenges that life was throwing at him. And he shows us today that it is possible not to compromise, even though he was in the midst of captivity. Like Daniel, we need to remember to wait on God for wisdom, and then to step out and follow him. This means having courage and faith. Daniel had the faith to believe that because he was faithful to God, God would enable them to look extra healthy in just 10 days. If only Weight Watchers was that quick. We are also living in a strange land that is often hostile to what we hold dear. The culture we live in has different values and beliefs. How can we fit in without being swallowed up? John 17 tells us that Jesus said we should be in the world, but not of it. But how do we know when is the right time to make a stand? Now, unfortunately, we can't read a book like Daniel and say that we each need to respond by doing exactly as Daniel did. We aren't all called to be vegetarians for a start. The book of Daniel is not a blueprint for life, but it reveals to us values and principles that give us guidance in the way we need to live, and it challenges us how to live in a way that is deliberately different. How to be authentic in our faith as we live in a world that has values and principles that are far from our own. So often there are lots of ways to be a believer in an unbelieving world. Much depends on the person and their specific situation. It is not the same for each of us. And it was like that for the people of Israel too. Some of them were ready to try and settle down in the new Babylon. Babylon offered them good prospects, and they were ready to embrace them. They didn't want to rock the boat. Other people reacted strongly against Babylon and everything it offered. They resisted the change and anything to do with its culture and ways. But some, and this included Daniel and his friends, looked for a middle ground. They wanted to hold on to their identity in God whilst cooperating within the structure of culture and politics. They wanted to be loyal citizens, but wanted to retain their relationship with God and preserve their unique faith. Daniel and his friends were grounded in their faith. It's quite likely they worshipped together, and that would have helped them to be strong when they faced these difficulties. Rather than feeling abandoned or withdrawing from God, they turned to God, they turned to his word, and they allowed God to direct them in all they should do. And so it was with simple and determined acts that they were able to live authentically from God. They waited on God for wisdom, and then they acted. But what does that mean for us today? How can we learn from Daniel how to live authentically for God? Well, we too need to remember to wait on God for his wisdom. And then we need to choose our battles wisely. We need to learn how we can cooperate without compromising. And part of this comes from us learning to depend on God more each day and to grow in our maturity and faith. Someone once gave me this example. They said, when we were younger, we were told that we should never cross the road on our own. As we got older, the rules changed, and we were told we should never cross the road on our own if there was a car coming. As we got older still, we learnt tools to help us cross the road, to gauge the distance and speed of a car so that we would know when it was safe to cross the road, even if there was a car approaching us. As we became more mature, the boundaries changed. And I think the same can be said of the Christian faith. When we're younger in faith, the lines are more black and white, and we have to say no more often. As we grow in our faith, so the boundaries sometimes change, and we can learn to listen to God and to discern when is the right time to take appropriate reaction. But we can only know how to respond to God when we wait on him and we grow in wisdom from him. Like Daniel, we belong to a different kingdom to the one in which we're living in. We need to fit in without losing our identity as children of God. Even if it feels like we're powerless, it's our responsibility to listen to God, to wait on him for wisdom, and then to follow his guidance and his call to us. So this morning, let me ask you another question. Where is God calling you to make a stand for your faith in the midst of our constantly changing culture? What are the situations that you are facing where you feel under pressure to conform to the culture that surrounds you? Are you waiting on God, letting him guide you so that you know when and how to live in a way that is deliberately different? As you consider those challenges that you face. Remember that God is sovereign. Even though it seems like people or culture may be against us, God is still all-powerful and he can utilize anything for his purposes. Remember that you belong to God. You are part of a different kingdom. Don't lose touch with God, with his word or his people. Ultimately, it is God you are serving wherever you are. And remember to wait on God for wisdom and then follow him. Like Daniel, it is possible to live in the culture without being of it, to work for other leaders and cooperate without compromising your faithfulness to God, to even enjoy life in a different culture without living outside of God's will. But choose your battles wisely and grow in godly wisdom as you step out in obedience to God. Let's take a moment of silence to reflect on God's word to us, and then let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word to us this morning, and we thank you for that reminder that you are sovereign, you are all-powerful. And Lord, as we remember that, Lord, we pray that you will help us to depend on you and trust in you more. Help us to gain wisdom from you, to discern your will, and give us courage and faith when you call us to step out and make a stand for you. Help us to know how to be in our culture but not be absorbed by it, and teach us how to be deliberately different and live for you. In Jesus' name, amen.